Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jagr looking to golf it out. Held in by Niskanen with five. Neal centers it. Orpik left side. Off now to Wagenla. Wrist shot. Glotzheim has. And the Bruins win. They sweep the Pittsburgh Penguins to return to the Stanley Cup Finals.
All right, that's the last time you were in this spot. Three up on a Eastern Conference Finals. You swept them. You swept up a team much better than this collection of garbage in Carolina. You swept the Pittsburgh Penguins in four straight in 2013, went back to the Stanley Cup Final. Dave Gosher with the call here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Surratt gets the call tonight. We'll see if the Bruins can repeat it. Who would you take, that 2013 team or this team? Which one was better?
That team in that era was better.
Yeah, ultimately them. I'm a little reluctant. Because they, you know, the way that they finished, but they were stacked and they should have. I mean, that team looked like they were poised to win multiple cups.
And again, we're joining 11 and 13.
Yeah, you can kind of do that if you want.
Okay, because it was the same nucleus. And also, that 13 team at the end, that was the year that Bergeron had a punctured lung,
right,
or something, right? I mean, they were really banged up at the end. So, but that aside, and they lost to an all time team in the Blackhawks. To me, they were better then. That 11 team, I mean, go back and look. That roster was excellent. It really was, top to bottom. There might not have been the all-time great like Ray Bourque on that roster, but they were good. Top to bottom, they were good.
So, you know, I would concur. Although I think in time we might feel differently. When some of these guys reach full fruition, we may feel differently. But for now, I think 11 and 13 were better. We just, this is a little exercise you do is you've got 2 weeks to kill before the Stanley Cup Finals start. So we thought we'd do it today. I did go back and look at the last two times you made the Stanley Cup Finals, 88-90. And I'm telling you, this era Bruins blows the crap out of those teams. Blows them out of the water. With Bourque and Neely and Moog and that group, these current teams, much better. Much better. Bourque's the number one player off the board from those teams. And maybe Neely second. I don't know. I think it's Neely, Bergeron, sort of a toss-up, but the next six, seven players are going to be on this team versus the team in the 80s. You go back and look at that roster, you realize how badly they cheaped out on those teams and how they didn't support those two players.
I mean, really, when you go back and look, that's what's striking.
Really?
I mean, after you get past Bourque and Neely, you look at the rest of the roster and go, oh, my God.
Okay, so that's how we started the show. We, of course, did the Sharks and Blues thing and the outrage of that replay. As part of the football minute, we said Scott Pioli to the Jets. Murray's hearing something. Can you say this on the air?
Yeah, the guy tweeted it. It's a guy that actually works at the station I used to work at in Atlanta, and he tweeted, hearing New York Jets owner Woody Johnson would like now ex-Atlanta assistant GM Scott Pioli to be the Jets GM. And then he followed by saying New England also interested in Pioli.
Well, maybe that was Pioli calling for the blessing and Bill saying, don't go work for those a-holes, I'll hire you.
Or Bill saying, here, I'll help you out. I'll tell him I'm interested too, and now you can get a little bidding war and get some more money out of him.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Good idea.
I mean, I would be stunned, blown out of the water, if Scott Pioli somehow would come back in here ahead of Nick Caserio. There's no way. There's no way unless Nick Caserio's out of here. And then there's a spot. But even still, as Scott knows, he's not running anything with Bill here. Bill comes into the draft room at the last minute and says, no, all that stuff you've been doing the last 9 months, we're drafting this guy. I mean, that's what Bill does. He's earned the right to do. That's how it works.
Maybe he's setting up the exit.
Where if Scott Pioli goes to the Jets, he runs the whole show. So why, you're really a vice president still here.
No, I like your idea. Put a second team in there to jack up the price a little. Yeah.
I mean, it's 101.
No, that's a good idea. Do your buddy a favor.
Okay, back to the phones. Here's Brockton and Chelsea?
Yeah.
Okay, Brockton and Chelsea. Go ahead, Brockton.
Mike, Tony, how are you?
Good.
Brockton here. I want to talk Collins. You know, the way I see it, this is a load of horse manure that we got him back. I thought he didn't fit the system. I thought he'd be the freelancer. I thought Belichick didn't like him. You know, that's one. And then two, I want to talk Justin Williams. I wonder how his breath smells after three games of eating poop sandwiches.
Well, not someone you'd want to get close to, for sure. Maz nailed it on Jamie Collins. He was getting a little too expensive for the trouble at the time. And, you know, I don't dispute that he was freelancing or was probably a pain in their ass. But when you're cheap and a pain in your ass, they can put up with it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're coming up on a big contract, you're a pain in the ass. See you later.
Yeah, I'm sure that they had tried to sign him. He said no. And then he was freelancing, and they found an excuse to get his ass out of here. And so that was it. See you later. Now the money's a lot less. He got paid. They like his athleticism, and they need it. So, hey, Jamie, welcome back. How's it going? Long time no see.
Sean in Manchester, should there be an NFL draft lottery?
Well, you know, I'm on the fence with it. I can agree with Maz and Murray. But what if they just took the last place team in each division, okay? And so that gets you your eight teams. And now that gives you that TV show, that revenue, everything.
Okay, babe. Maz?
I mean, I think that's exactly what I said. I said take the bottom eight, maybe even the last place team in each division. Like, that would be...
When callers aren't listening.
No, it's okay. I mean, they're not there all the time, right? I don't expect them to
But the point is, to me, it's just, boy, it's such a great TV product. And, you know, and that's for basketball, which is the second or third sport. You know, what if it were the sport? What if it were football? And now you got four teams up there vying for, you know, that year's Andrew Luck or whatever the case may be. That's... You understand the kind of ratings that thing would do?
Absolutely. I like the idea of it. And I'm just looking quickly to see if any of the last place teams had like 7-9, you know? There was no such animal this year. It had been Arizona, Tampa, Detroit, the Giants, Oakland, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, and the Jets. You know, so it's just a way to sort of spread it out a little so that, you know, I don't know, maybe that introduces blowing games at the end of the year on purpose.
I don't think the league needs it. I don't think it's a really tanky sport. It's happened, but I don't think it's a problem. I don't think tanking's a problem in football. I think that getting the guy still doesn't guarantee you anything, although the quarterback position is becoming so important, it's almost like basketball, but it's still not quite there yet. So I just don't feel the need for it. I'm just saying, what a business opportunity. Well, like what that thing would do if it was football, and we got that thing that we got the other night. Can you imagine that? Chuck in Ashland, Sharks Blues, your thoughts on that thing?
So you had an earlier caller that said that they thought it deflected off the defenseman, and the rule specifically spells out that it's still a hand pass, even if it deflects off of another player or an official
uh-huh.
until it's controlled.
Well, there you go. Good. So I don't think it did, Chuck, but I didn't even realize that gradation of the rule. I mean, of all the times that I'm watching hockey and they whistle the play dead for freaking hand pass that really wasn't important to the flow of play or wasn't a dangerous play. And I'm like, would you just keep going? It didn't matter that it hit his glove. It didn't matter. Just keep going. And now we've got to sit around and there's a break or a commercial because of a hand pass that really meant nothing to anybody. And so like even the hand passes frustrate me. Like we'd stop blowing the whistle. Just let him go. It's fine. So they every ticky-tack little hand pass gets called, but not that one. In overtime of a conference final where the entire arena sees it and the entire country watching sees it.
Right by the net.
That one doesn't come back.
It was like a shortstop throwing a first.
Where the guy basically shovels the puck to the dude open on the other, two dudes open on the other side of the net. That one doesn't get looked at. But the thing that glances off the guy's thumb in the middle of November in the neutral zone between the Bruins and the Coyotes, and we're all trying to get the hell home, that one gets whistled and gets dropped at neutral ice. Like, that's what drives me nuts, too. But I don't even want you to, like, oh, God. It's just...
No, listen, the thing's infuriating. And again, clear as day on video. Clear as day. And they can't review it?
Would have taken 10 seconds on review. Jeff and Lynn, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, hey, guys, listen. The officials are killing the game for me, okay? Last night was like, are you kidding me? For real? And then the other night, the Bruins game should have been 3-1 because that goaltender interference, they were all outside the paint. The goalie was outside the paint. He's open, whatever.
That's
okay?
A harder one. That's a harder one, Jeff. I don't put that on the same list. That's a judgment call, and those are all...
All right. Hold on, hold on. Listen, back. Let's go back to the 80s when Gary Galley in the playoffs had his toe over the blue line. The Bruins scored a goal, and they called it back.
I don't remember that one. I remember Rob DeMaio in the crease in 98 against the Sabres.
Wasn't it Tim Taylor?
Was it Tim Taylor or Rob DeMaio?
No, it was the tool man.
DeMaio scored the goal. Tim Taylor was in the crease. And Rob Dvorsky? Ron Dvorsky?
Dvorsky sounds right.
Was the name of the ref. I remember that crap.
Sounds right. It was Dvorsky. I think it was the tool man.
Okay. But now we're going back. These are different eras. And the goaltender interference is like pass interference or holding. It's in the eye of the beholder. That's subjective. That's not going to be consistent. You're all going to have problems. I thought they got it right the other night with the goaltender interference. Some people don't, but that's the way that's always going to be. This isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about an obvious, obvious hand pass that leads to a massively important goal. And everyone in the world can see it. And replay is there so easily and so quickly, could have just said, nope, no goal. And it doesn't. In an environment and an era when we replay everything, that somehow you can't look at.
Really, mind-boggling.
It's outrageous.
Yeah, mind-boggling. And like to the point where, like, let's say because it's not a rule that they can review it. Let's say the league intervened, went out of its comfort zone, and went out of the rules and said, no, we're not going to allow that. Okay, this is the semifinals. Then the San Jose coach goes bananas. Don't you look like a complete a-hole if you're that coach? The rest of the world's looking at you. What do you want to win by cheating?
Exactly.
You want to win by cheating? Is that how you want to win?
We continue with your thoughts right after this.
Felger and Maz.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So, God, I'm going to ask you to go on the memory bank here a little bit, but if you could, can you compare how you feel now in this run compared to how you felt in some other runs that you've had? Is this as good, better? I mean, what do you think that level is at right now?
I think every year going to playoffs, I felt good. It's just like we have such a tight group of guys, you know, and we play for each other, you know. So, you know, everything goes hand in hand, you know. I mean, I felt good many, many years. And then there's sometimes the puck hits you, sometimes it doesn't. So it's a bounce here, bounce there. You know, either it goes your way or it doesn't. And, you know, how I feel hasn't really changed over the years, but now this year I feel like we really have each other's backs, and you know we've been in some tight games, but then our death comes in and we score goals and then we take over the game. So that's the difference. You know, some other years it might be that, you know, we don't have that death necessarily, and you know, then the other team scores goals and we can't recover. So my feelings haven't really changed. I feel good.
Now we're talking about this Bruins team versus past Bruins teams. Rask right there says he's no different this year than he has in past playoff years. I agree.
Yeah, I don't believe it for a second.
I think he's reached another level. And, you know, it may not be much higher of a level than, say, he was 2013. But don't tell me this is the same guy that we saw in that Ottawa series a couple of years ago where he's letting in floaters from the blue line. Remember that game two in Ottawa? Up there when they had a chance to go up 2-0.
Yeah.
And Ottawa scored like two goals from the blue line. You remember that game?
Sure.
Or even him last year against Toronto where he got pulled from one game. This is last year's Toronto series. He got pulled from game 5 here in Boston and was this close to getting pulled in game seven here in Boston last year. This is the exact same guy as those previous 2 years?
No, no. He's operating differently now.
Stop. Come on. I mean, not even the biggest Boohoo Tuca crew member is going to tell me that.
So the thing that has struck me as most different about him is he doesn't seem to, he seems much more in control of his emotions. Like, and, you know, he's so poised in there. And there have been some occasions where he could lose his mind. The puck that went up in the net in Columbus, that's number one.
Well, he didn't know it at the time.
Okay.
That's what he said. He said he didn't even know that that was in play. He didn't know it went out of play.
Okay. So, but I'll tell you what then. Let's use the last game as an example. The one that went through his pads. I think in the past, he lets in a soft goal. He starts flipping out a little.
It goes from bad to worse.
Yeah. And I don't think that happens anymore. Well, it hasn't happened this postseason yet.
If you want to say he's closer to what he was in 13, I think that's fair. But I still think he's better I think he's better here than he was in 13. In 13, that first round against Toronto, he wasn't that good. He wasn't. And then he was through the roof against Pittsburgh in the sweep. So it was a little more up and down. I think this is easily the most consistent for the longest amount of time he's played in the playoffs since he's been a Bruin. That's what I think is different. He's, you know, for stretches, reached this level of play for sure. But over this, you know, amount of time, and then, the low points haven't been nearly as low, and they haven't lasted nearly as long. So that's why I think this is different. But he doesn't want to quite admit that, which is fine. He can do whatever he wants right now.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Like
whatever works for him now, just stick with it.
Whatever it takes. But he's not being honest with himself if he says, I'm the same guy I've been the last couple of years. We're deeper now, and we're scoring more. Like, that's not it.
He's maybe going to say that to convince himself that everything's fine, because if he starts thinking about it too much, maybe he'll get out of whack.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. But, you know, I don't believe that. I'm taking 2019 Tuca over 2013 Tuca for our argument.
Same.
One more thing. We've heard this in multiple places now, and I don't know if anyone else has mentioned anything about this, but they may be without Zdeno Chara tonight. We're just sort of hearing a rumble about Zdeno Chara. So who knows? Our rumbles might just be diarrhea, knowing our track record. But we're hearing sort of rumbles about Chara and a hip or a groin or something.
Right. Might be indigestion.
Yeah.
Right. So let me, two things here.
He didn't practice yesterday.
Okay. One, is that a big deal?
No. I mean, you should be able to beat Carolina without him.
Okay.
I'll put it to you like that.
You won without McAvoy, and McAvoy's a better player.
Correct. Against a better team.
Okay. So.
I'm sorry. No, that was a Carolina. Sorry.
So I look at it and say, you figure it out. You should still find a way. Secondly, if this were a 2-2 series, do you think he'd play?
I don't know.
I'm willing to bet yes.
So maybe it's that thing.
So, like, and, you know, I think the Bruins probably say we could push it here, but we're not gonna. We're up 3-0, which I don't love, but I also, at the same time, I say I don't have a huge problem with it.
Okay, just keep an eye on it. It's just a rumble. We're not reporting that. That's not an official Felger Maz report. That's just letting you know of a rumble. That's all that is. Mike in the truck, go ahead. What do you got on tonight?
Yeah, sorry about the phone yesterday. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you all right.
Okay. Credit to the Hurricanes for Tuesday night. They very easily could have won that game if it weren't for Tuca. That being said, tonight I do think it's over. I don't expect the Hurricanes to duplicate what they did on Tuesday, and I think the Bruins see the finish line in sight, and I expect them to play a lot better tonight as well. So,
right. I mean, I'll tell you this. Carolina ain't going to be any better in the first 10 minutes than they were in that first 10 minutes the other night.
I don't know how they could be.
That's their ceiling. So it ain't going to be any worse than that. And if you can withstand it, if Rask still is in his zone, you're better. You just withstand whatever punch. I mean, I think if you get up on them, it's over. They'll just capitulate because that's human nature, even in that sport. Doug in Dover. Yes, Doug, on the Sharks. What'd you think?
Felger, I watched that whole game, and you and I both know that sometimes pucks take an unusual bounce. There's not a camera angle that shows that guy definitely 100% hit that puck. And even if he did, that game wasn't lost because of a hand pass. That game was lost because that goalie missed a point-blank save that he blew. So that's why everybody's all up in arms that the refs missed the call and that's why they lost the game. That goalie should have made that save, and that's why they lost the game.
So, Doug, your second point is valid. There's a lot of things St. Louis could have taken back to win that game, never mind giving up a goal with 45 seconds left. So that's on them. I'm with you on that. Are you kidding me that T.O. Meyer didn't glove that puck? Are you kidding me?
No, I watched it. the only angle that we could have clearly seen what happened was the camera in the goalie net. And because he was at the angle he was at, they didn't use
Doug,
it.
Go back to your computer. I'm just going to cut you off. And thank you for the call.
I mean, he can't be serious.
Go back to your computer.
It's blatant.
He shoveled the puck over. That was a good analogy. Like a second baseman on a double play. It was a... He gloved the... It was handball. And the words of Eric Carlson said it himself. It play that cut, Jimmy. I mean, he's even mocking the thing. Eric Carlson, who scored the game winner, the defenseman there with the stupid handlebar mustache. That's what he said.
Well, we weren't playing handball, were we? So we're playing hockey. I think, you know, we deserve to win this game. And at the end of the day, I think that neither team, you know, drew the shortest stick on any of the calls out there. So it's a fair game.
Yeah, he's mocking it. Playing handball out there. Because that's what that was. That was handball.
He's a tool. Seriously, he is a tool. Like, hearing him like that, no, you know, there wasn't a call one way or the other. He can't be serious. He can't. He can't be serious.
Believe me.
He sounds like a complete tool bag.
And this biased Sharks fan calling in, oh, you can only see it from one angle. Okay, liar.
Would you stop? Chris in Portland, Oregon on NBA rules. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, I mean, this isn't one of those, you know, if you kick a 50-yard field goal, you get 5 points or whatever type of thing. But it's, I mean, honestly, don't you think the NBA would be a better game without the three-point line if teams had to, you know, get twos and, you know, drive to the basket?
Okay. No, I don't, Chris. I actually think it's helped the game.
I think it's helped it a lot.
I think it's helped it a lot. And look, I think some teams shoot way too many and it gets sort of stupid. I think the Bucks are one of them, and that's my team, and I even watched them last night with just a bunch of big oafs outside the three-point line chucking away. And Brooke Lopez might get hot for a little bit, but the other half, thump off the back, like he's breaking the backboard.
Did he take 11 of them last night?
Some of his misses, he's just out there bombing away.
Yeah, but at the end, he like sealed the game with one of those. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Sometimes they go in, so they make miss from 30 feet is like our team. So look, I get frustrated with it, but it used to be, Maz, back in our day, you either had a center or you didn't. And if you had a center, you were good. And if you didn't have a center, you had no shot. You know, either you had big guys, either you had a front court, or it was Kareem, or it was the big three here in Boston, or it was Malone, or whatever. You know, the Bucks had a chance when they got Lanier. We were always trying to get a center. Cowens came and played for us. It was all about the center. It was all about it. And it's just a much better game now. The center is obsolete, and it's wide open, and there's room, and I think the ball moves on a lot of teams. It's a good sport, right? It's a good game right now.
Yeah, and I think that the three-point shot is, you know, a momentum changer a lot of times. Right? Like you hit that three and all of a sudden it's rolling and it can really affect the momentum of a game. But your team, your Bucks team, they might be the next team with a great big man.
Oh, well, that's true. But he doesn't play it. He doesn't play with his back to the basket. He's not posting up in there.
Not with his back to the basket, but he's at the rim constantly.
Nick and Worcester, quick.
Hey, man, just want to say, Wick Grusbeck is like some kind of like, what, like billionaire trust fund manager guy. He's really good with his words, and he's really good at making himself not look like an idiot. So I think with this Kyrie Irving thing, it was purely damage control on his part. Above all, I'm saying we got to trust Danny Ainge. He loves the Celtics more than all of us combined. He's a smart guy.
Okay. I don't understand his point.
Me neither. I have no clue. And look,
just really basically go Celtics.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what the call was. Yeah. And look, I think Ainge is a good executive too. And it should be a lesson to you what happened out in LA, that just because you were a good player doesn't make you a good executive. Not that Magic's the only example of that. Isaiah Thomas sucked at it too.
Yeah, but you don't get it, Maz. Ainge's moves aren't made just to improve the team. They're made with love.
Because he loves them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he bleeds. No,
I think Wick was tiptoeing through the tulips because he knows he has a temperamental, moody, menstrual superstar that he's trying to keep, and he doesn't want to say the wrong thing. And that's that.
Even if it's a positive thing, which still blows my mind, you can't sing this guy's praises?
Nope. Kyrie might take it the wrong way.
How do you take a positive comment the wrong way?
Well, because if he says that he wants Kyrie back, Kyrie will interpret that as pressure to come back to Boston.
Correct.
And he'll do the opposite.
He's mercurial.
I'm not going to conform to your expectations. I my whole life have given into advisors, and I'm not going to do it just because you want me to do it. So as soon as, if just by the Celtics expressing some appreciation, they don't want him to read it the wrong way because the guy isn't mercurial. He's a putz.
Kyrie, come back to the Celtics, please. I loved how you played the last two seasons. I think you're a great star. I want you back. I want you here for five more years at $190 million. Kyrie, please. Please, please, please come back to the Celtics. Save us, Kyrie. Save us from hell.
Because Jimmy wants him to leave. You see what he's doing?
Yeah, no, it's reverse psychology.
Here comes Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Bruce, at this point, with, you know, having the day in between everything, is there really much left to say to the players, knowing where they're at and what they try to accomplish tonight?
Well, I mean, other than the typical, you know, game prep, there's not a whole lot else. They know what's at stake. So we went through our special teams yesterday. We talked about areas of our game that thought got better as the game went on. Breakouts specifically, we didn't handle them well early. So we'll do our typical routine. Guys will have an optional skate, and away we go. So no, there's no rah-rah speeches here. We win a game, we advance. We understand that. We lose, we go home and play game five. That's pretty much where it's at for us.
So that's Bruce Cassidy this morning in Carolina. Mass just raised an interesting point. They're going for the Eastern Conference Championship tonight, which used to be called
the Prince of Wales.
Prince of Wales Trophy.
The Prince of Wales Trophy for the Wales Conference?
Yeah, as opposed to the Campbell Conference.
That right. Used to be the... So it still is, I believe, the Prince of Wales Trophy.
I believe it is.
And there's different schools of thoughts on this, but some people believe you don't touch that because that's not the trophy you're after.
Peter!
So treat it like the Peter rule on the punt. Don't touch it. Don't touch the Prince of Wales trophy. And others fondle it like to your heart's content. I think Sidney Crosby fondles it and is not afraid to, you know, give it a good grab.
He tempts the fates.
And it really, well, it hasn't really worked against him, has it now? He's got three, four cups? What has he got?
I think it's three.
Okay. So that's going to be interesting to see. What do they do with that Prince of Wales trophy?
Don't touch that thing.
Don't go anywhere near it. Don't you dare, don't even like let it breathe on you. With the filthy places that thing has been, don't touch it. Don't touch it. It's a STD waiting to happen. Don't go near it. Wait for the real thing. Don't settle.
So we're showing a picture on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast from, is that 11? It's 11 or 13. One of those 2 years. I think it's 2011 because I don't see... Unless that's Tim
13.
Thomas on the far left. That's 2013. That's Bill Daly, one of the assistant commissioners. And that's the Prince of Wales trophy, and they're not touching it. They're standing around it, but they ain't touching it. So, yeah, let's see what they do tonight.
I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I wouldn't touch it with your arm.
Frank the Tank, give me some hockey thoughts. What do you got? Jimmy, I'm frozen. Pop him up on line three. Francis on the Bruins. You're up next.
All right, don't call me Francis. Look, the last two times that they went to the Stanley Cup, they didn't touch it, and you shouldn't touch it. That thing is just, it's gross. Just treat it like it's covered with crap. You don't touch it. As far as tonight goes, send them to their destruction tonight. Don't wait for Saturday. Just kill them now. Get it over with. As far as the replay in the NHL goes, something's got to be done about it, and that's just that. Your comparison with the teams and everything, those 87, 88, and 89, 90, I mean, that was a completely different total era of hockey. But for me personally, that 2011 team, I mean, that was the biggest bunch of collection of the toughest SOBs and meanest bastards you'd ever want to play hockey against. Every one of those guys on that team, from pillar to post, except for Patrice Bergeron, had a fighting major that year. Huh. And look who leads the team in fight, who leads the league in fighting majors this year. It was the Bruins. So,
ooh, I'm sorry.
About being together. Hello?
Yep, nope, that was my fault, Frank. Thank you. The Bruins lead the league in fighting majors this year?
I didn't know that either.
Do they?
It wouldn't surprise me because nobody fights anymore.
They didn't fight.
Well, they had some.
Some.
I mean, they might have had, what, 20 fights this year?
They had a few. It feels like they had a few fights. Did they lead the league, Murray?
I'm going to look it up.
Can you please? I don't mean to bark at you, but that's sort of crying for it.
If you think of the ones that...
Murray, Google that.
If you think of the ones towards the end of the year, remember, Chara got into it with Kane. There was a couple of scraps that Backes got into just to, like, hang on.
You can look at... I think hockeyfights.com probably has it.
All right.
This is a little Bruins exercise, a little honky. Got a little honky on the Bruins today, going back to that 89-90 team, which I glorify like everybody else. What a great team. Bork, Neely, you know, what great teams. I'm sorry. They don't hold a candle to these teams. They don't.
I mean, after Bork and Neely, it was a lot of mediocrity.
Yeah, Bruins number one, 26.
26. Excellent guess. You said 25.
No, I said 20.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Either way, still close.
26. You fight 1 in 4 nights now, roughly, and you lead the league?
Yeah.
That is pathetic.
Murray, can you do that by year? Like, if you were to look up 2010-11, does
you
it let
do you? That. I'm not doing that. You got one out of me. We got like a minute before the break. You want it, you do it during the commercial break.
I was just trying to compare eras. That's all. Don't take it personally.
That was great.
You do it. I'm not doing
it. Up yours, Maz.
All right, I'll look it up.
But even between this team and 2011 and 13, I mean, I just give you one example. Your second pairing D this year is Krug Carlo. Your second pairing D in that era was Ferenc Boychuk. What would you rather have?
Ferenc Boychuk.
Isn't it kind of clear?
I liked Ferenc. I thought Ferenc was a good player.
And I would even look at your first pairing. This year's first pairing is Chara at 42 and looking like it. And again, he might even be out tonight. Chara at 42 and McAvoy, or Chara Seidenberg back in 2011 and 13 when Chara was pretty damn near in his prime.
Chara Seidenberg.
The D was better.
I mean, I might, you know, at that time, like, I might take that pairing over any other pairing in the league, for crying out loud. They were filthy good.
And I'll just give you, again, third line now is Coyle, Johansson, Heinen, if you want to put in there. That era, we're talking about Kelly, Peverly, Ryder.
It might have been Ryder.
Guys like this, who'd you rather have?
Ryder moved around a little bit, but that third line then was good. I'll take that line.
It's close. This one I really like, but it's close. I'm just telling you.
That team was better.
Yeah, anyway.
And because I feel guilty and feel bad
now. Thank you, Murray.
The Bruins were second in 2010-2011 with 71 fight totals.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Think of that. Think of that. Almost 3X.
One third. Right. One third. That is ridiculous.
Oh, I hate the league. I hate that the league has become that. I miss those days.
Thank you, James.
You're welcome, Anthony.
Okay. Here comes our long commercial-free segment right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Helpline. ma.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
In front of the net, the Nyquist, and they've scored. Carlson on the doorstep puts it in, and the San Jose Sharks win in overtime. 5-4 with 14:37 to go in overtime.
It might be a hand pass here, Curbs.
Yeah, but if they didn't see it, they can't review it.
They're going to talk it over. I did see a hand drop. Jordan Bennington's aggravated. Is that a reviewable play?
Nope.
Timo, it's a hand pass, 100%.
They're going to call it a goal, and the Blues just got toasted. A hand pass by San Jose, missed by Mark Jonette, Dan O'Rourke, Johnny Murray, and Matt McPherson. These two guys, they pointed to center ice, and now they don't know what to say. And they're going to call it a goal, and the Blues just fell victim to another horrific job by NHL officiating. Braden Schenn slaps the glass. And the NHL at this point in time has to be absolutely embarrassed by yet another officiating crew in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
All right, that's obviously St. Louis Radio from what happened last night. Yet another example of hashtag why replay doesn't work. Replay doesn't work. And when I say it doesn't work, I mean it hasn't avoided controversy. It's created more. It hasn't enhanced the viewing experience. It's deadened it. It does not work from a consumer standpoint. Sometimes it gets the calls right. Sometimes it gets the calls wrong, just like officials. And it hasn't made it better. That's why I mean it doesn't work. It hasn't made it better. It certainly hasn't ended the controversy. And it is mind-blowing, mind-blowing, if you've been following the hockey in the Western Conference and saw the offsides that they took off the board, the goal they took off the board against the Colorado Avalanche for an offsides where the guy stepped in the door a centimeter inside of the blue line away from the play just because that's where the contractor put the door. They were able to look at that, spend time on that, and they took that goal off the board because of where the door was. And that thing last night can't be looked at. Is just another example of what are we doing with replay? Bananas.
I mean, that thing last night, again, that was egregious.
So what I think the number one thing is that the league wasn't able to square it away off the record. And by off the record, I mean the refs are able to confer and get together and talk in a group. And if someone sees something, you can then bring that up and say, no, I saw that. I'm convinced, even if it's a linesman at the red line, he hit it with his glove. He gets a hand pass, Frank, you know, and then you can come up with a ruling. So what you do there is those refs get into a huddle. Toronto's in their ear, and Toronto says to the Toronto, I mean, the league office, the replay official is in the ear of the ref saying, say you saw it. It was obviously a hand pass. Tell them the linesman saw it and you got overruled and it's a hand pass. No one's going to argue with you. It's a hand pass, you know, and go make the right call. Whether you're allowed to via the rules or not, that's just, I don't know why leagues don't do that. I think some do. Hockey obviously isn't shrewd enough to do that because that's absolutely what should have happened. Toronto should have been in their ear saying, say you saw it. It was a hand pass and let's go. And the fact that that was, you know, so that's one outrage that replay once again can't fix an obvious problem, and we replay everything. But that obvious blown call last night, Sharks Blues in overtime, doesn't get overturned. Okay, that's one outrage. The second thing is the Sharks again have a horseshoe up their dorsal fin. Like, they do not belong here, Murray. What do you call them?
The cockroach asterisk Sharks. That's what they are until further notice.
Okay, so they get gifted a 5-minute major in round one in game seven, down 3 goals with 10 minutes left in the third. And that's how they get past Vegas. Then in game seven against Colorado, Colorado scores a game time goal. I think it was late in the second, and it gets brought back on that Furkacka offsides. And now this. Now they go up 2-1 on an overtime goal that had no business going on the
board. In other words, they've had 3 tuck rule type things happen to them in 3 different series.
Yeah, one in each round.
It's absurd.
I mean, it is. It's out of control.
So the outrage there is that's your team in the Stanley Cup final, presumably, and they have the hockey gods and Lady Luck and Destiny's Darlings and all that thing on their side. They have all that on their side, and that is it's getting hard to ignore what's going on there.
I mean, so think of what's in store for you in the finals.
Bend over, Boston. Here it comes.
Seriously, though. Like, they've gotten one every run. That's a scary team for that reason alone. Because you do sort of buy into some of that crap that sometimes it's just your year. It does work that way.
So apparently there was quite the scene last night. The St. Louis GM, name escapes me, storms down to the hallways, pounding on the door of the officials' room, one of these old school things, pounding on the officials' door.
Where's Wright Waters?
Calling them garbage. Calling those guys garbage. Craig Berube could barely speak after the game. Here's the coach.
Do you think that was a hand pass, and did you get any explanation?
No explanation.
Did you think it was a hand pass?
Well, what do you guys think?
Yes.
Okay, then don't ask me. There's no reason to ask me.
Well, we want to hear what you have to say.
Nothing. I have nothing to say about it.
Okay, talk about a crap sandwich in his mouth. Berube can barely talk. And so there's that. Now comes this report, Murray?
Yeah, so this is on Twitter. Andy Strickland, he's a ringside reporter for Fox Sports Midwest, covers the Blues. And people are tweeting at him, hey, are there enough crews left now that Jeanette and O'Rourke, those are two of those guys, you know, just asking, hey, can they sit out the remainder of the playoffs? And this guy retweeted and said, I'm hearing they're done for the remainder of the playoffs. Two linesmen as well. Hashtag NHL.
So the two refs, two linesmen have been fired, basically, for the rest of the year.
Too little, too late, in my opinion.
Of course. Well, so what did you want them to do there? You're not allowed to, you know, the league. When, why don't you get on the horn with them and tell them to change the call?
See, that's the thing. That's how I look at it. Because what, you expect them to not make mistakes? I mean, now this was a big one. Don't get me wrong, but again, they didn't see it. I'm not defending them. But what's the bigger sin? Them not seeing it. Or the league seeing it on video and not doing anything about it.
The second thing.
Way worse.
Human error.
Way worse.
I can wrap my head around human error. And that's the way it always was my entire life. Now it's, well, how come that's reviewed and that's not? There's this whole other layer to, again, why replay doesn't work. Because now there's this whole mind bleep of, wait a minute. You're looking at centimeters on the blue line. But you won't look at the puck, obviously, going into the stands, or the guy batting the puck to a wide-open guy on the side of the net. You won't look at that? But we're going to circumcise the mosquito over here on this stupid offsides? That's outrageous. Like, that I can't square. I can square a ref missing a call. So what? Did they blow some sort of protocol? Did they not go over and put the headset on when they should have? Like, even though that's not reviewable, and they know it's not reviewable, screw it. Put the headset on and come up with something. We want to see how much time was on the clock. We wanted to double check on in offsides on the play. Any pretense to get the headset on, and then Toronto tells you, one of you say you saw it, and you change the call, and that's what should happen. Like, why can't you forget the rules?
I mean, to me, that's like basic. That's one of those where you forget the rules.
I mean, and I don't mean like totally forget the rules, but just get on the headset and talk to someone. And just think about it for a second. That's a conference final to go to the Stanley Cup, for crying out loud.
I told you, if they came up with some cockamamie story, the reality is when that happens, and my guess is they're all going to go through this now, although maybe they'll change the rules here and the balance of the way for this season. But what they should do right away is confer first. That way they can always go to the other coach and say, no, we actually, one of us did see it. But they, you know, and yes, then they yes, get yes. on, right? Then get on the headset.
Get together, get your story straight, and then present it. And if no one saw it, then get on the headset.
Exactly. And then get on the headset, and the league says, I know none of you guys saw it, but.
You saw it.
Right. You did. That's exactly right. And since you conferred before you called me, tell them that Joe Schmo, who was standing on the other blue line, he saw it, but he saw the guy bat the puck, and that's it. Because then what is the winning coach going to say? You screwed me? I want to win by cheating? There's no out for that. You come off as a jackass if you bitch about that.
Okay, so there's that reset on that outrageous Sharks thing last night. We got just how great is this? Again, one more time, because it's such a clean reset. Maz, is this a great Bruins team?
No.
Okay, that's one topic. The disputed goal last night is another. Anything else you want? Your calls, I promise. A lot of hockey right after Murray's 90-second update. No.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line MA.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.